for everyone that's joining us online as well. I've been preaching on the eldership the last couple of weeks. Now I want to kind of rewind and go back to our Covenant Sunday scripture, which was Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And over the next several weeks, I want us to talk about what it means to trust God, how can we trust God, and just kind of look at this passage. This is such a beautiful and meaningful passage, one that we've put before you as a theme for this year, and just kind of take that apart and dig a little deeper in that. But let's read together this passage, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Are you ready to read? Yes, you are. All right, ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. I want to give you a definition of trust. I love this definition because it just lets me know what my life will be like if I can really learn to trust God. A definition that I shared with you on Covenant Sunday, I want to present to you again today. Trust is the sense of well-being, security, which results from having something or someone in whom to place confidence. The feeling of being safe or secure, to be unconcerned. I love all of those words, don't you? I want to feel this feeling of well-being. I want to feel this sense of security. I want to have confidence. I want to feel safe, secure. I want to be unconcerned. Not in the sense that I don't have anything to do, but I just don't want to feel this weight of anxiety that sometimes I feel, and I think a lot of us feel that weight of anxiety. And you know what? Trust sounds so easy, doesn't it? You know, trust me. Sounds easy, but it is so difficult, especially in the world that we live in today, because we're surrounded by reminders that people cannot be trusted. They're all around. We have security cameras everywhere you go. Even here today, we have security cameras. We have people watching over us because there's something about this world where we can't trust that everything is going to be okay. And the security cameras everywhere that you go. We have locks on our doors. We have security systems in our homes because we really can't trust to leave things open because, hey, there are bad people out there that are going to want to rob us and steal from us. Try to get on a website, a personal website. I mean, there's passwords that you constantly forget, don't you? There's passwords to protect our personal information. Some websites require two-step verification. Not only you have to put the password in, but they got to send you a code by text that you have to enter in. Your phone, you've got to hold it up so it recognizes your face or recognizes your thumb. Or you have to put in some type of code because we don't want our information to be stolen because there are people out there that do that. Been to the airport lately? You got to put your bag through the x-ray machines and you got to stand up in front of that x-ray because they don't trust you. Sometimes they even have to pat you down. Well, that's a nice experience, isn't it? We don't trust you. We've got to feel all over you because there are bad people that are doing bad things. There are security guards. Every public venue that you go through, you normally have to walk through some metal detector. Try to visit your kid at school. We were up in Indiana, Henry and I, our two grandchildren live in Indiana. We were up there a couple of months ago, wanted to eat lunch with them. We got to get out our driver's license. They got to take a picture of us. We got to sign documents. We got to wear some. And I'm not saying this is something that we shouldn't do, but it's just another reminder that we are surrounded by this feeling of distrust. Want to volunteer at school? Want to coach your kid? You want to volunteer even here at Park Avenue? Well, we've got to have a background check because there are people out there that are doing bad things to our kids. We don't trust you. Everywhere we're told we're not to be trusted. And then what about the pandemic? Wasn't that a fun time? We didn't know who to trust, you know? We didn't know if people were lying to us. We didn't know if people had political agendas. Should we wear masks? Should we not wear masks? Should we get vaccinated, not get vaccinated? Should we just shut down, or should it be business as usual? We just didn't know who to trust. And what was really especially difficult in that pandemic is that Christians started to distrust one another. And some terrible and mean things were said, because that's what happens when you don't trust. You say things that that you normally wouldn't say. So there are so many reminders around us that I think it's kind of seeped into our subconscious, isn't it? No one can be trusted. No one can be trusted. I was born in 1961. I know I don't look that old, but I was born in 1961, so grew up in the 60s and 70s, and talk about a time when trust was not handed out very freely. We had the Vietnam War, and I was too young to understand all of that, but there was a lot of distrust about what was going on there. We had some things going on in the White House where tapes were being hidden. I didn't understand all that Watergate stuff, but I knew someone couldn't be trusted. And so actually in the 60s and 70s, that became one of the mantras of that time, wasn't it? Trust nobody or trust no one. In fact, I had a hat. I was in like third or fourth grade. I had a hat, a little baseball cap, and it was, I can't remember it exactly, but it was kind of like tie-dye. It was really 70s looking. I don't know who gave me this hat, but the hat said, trust nobody. I was proud to wear that to school. I felt pretty cool. I didn't trust anybody. And then you also remember, don't trust anyone over 30 was another phrase. But I remember wearing that to school one day, got on the bus, and one girl, she was probably some cute girl that I probably liked. She said, can I see your hat? So I handed her the hat. I said, well, can I have it back? She said, no, you said don't trust anybody. I said, all right, point proved. I don't know, whatever happened to that hat, but so many reminders that we shouldn't trust people. Add to that all of our individual experiences that have eroded our trust in humanity. You go and you buy something, and you believe it's going to do something. You believe it's going to do what the commercial said it was supposed to do, and you bring it home and whatever, and it just doesn't operate. It doesn't do what you thought it was supposed to do. And then you realize that you didn't read the fine print, because fine print is an indication that we really can't be trusted, and we want to try to hide that as much as we possibly can. And so we say to ourselves, I'm not going to trust that company again. I'm not going to go to that restaurant. They're not doing what they say they're supposed to do. Friendship, sometimes we get betrayed by our friends, someone who we thought would always be there for us. And they turn their backs on us. And so our trust, again, is eroded. Maybe you're in a marriage and you thought to yourself, wow, I really thought I could trust that person. And you just don't have that trust. Husbands and wives don't trust one another. And then if you've been through a divorce, whether it was justified, unjustified, whatever it was, I mean, doesn't that just erode your trust in humanity? We stood in front of people. We stood before God. We made these promises. And you haven't kept them. Trust sounds easy, but it is so hard, isn't it? It's so hard in our world to trust. And I think there's at least three reasons why it's hard to trust. Trust people, at least. Number one, people, for the most part, are selfish, aren't we? And a lot of times people promise us things not for our own good, but for their own advantage. They want to make a profit off of us. And so they'll say anything. And so we go through that and we realize people can't really be trusted because they're always after something for themselves. They're using us. And then people are weak. Sometimes people, maybe even well-intentioned, will say, I promise to do this, but they really don't have the power. There's no way that they could deliver on those promises. And for some reason, they make these promises to us, but they can never deliver because they don't have the power to follow through. Or sometimes people are just misguided. Sometimes people are just ignorant. They don't even know what they're talking about. And so they make these promises, but hey, they didn't realize that this had to happen in order for that to happen. And so they make promises based on incorrect or limited information. Trust is a hard sell in our world today, isn't it? But Scripture tells us to trust, not indiscriminately. In fact, in Scripture, we're told a lot of things that we shouldn't trust. In the Old Testament, don't trust in your bow, don't trust in your chariot, don't trust in your wealth, don't trust in yourself, don't trust in humans. Don't trust in princes. Don't trust in rulers. Don't trust in your own cleverness. Don't trust in deceptive words. Don't trust in idols. Sometimes you can't even trust your neighbor. Sometimes you can't even trust your friends. Sometimes you can't even trust your family. There's a slew of things in Scriptures that say, don't put your trust in that. But there is someone that Scripture says that you can trust. Over and over again, we are called to trust in the Lord. It's not just in Proverbs chapter 3. It's all over Scripture. Trust in the Lord. Trust God. Trust Him. And it's not given as an option. It's not saying, hey, it would be nice. Why don't you go ahead? Why don't you think about trusting God? It is a command in Scripture to trust the Lord, to trust God. And I think there's good reason that Scripture calls us to trust, because when we live a life where we don't trust in anything, then our life kind of falls apart, especially our spiritual life. We're never really going to be the spiritual people that we want to be, that God wants us to be, if we can't trust Him. Mark chapter 4, Jesus is talking in parables. He tells that parable. It's a well-known one. It's a sower goes out to seed, and he's throwing seed on different grounds. And there's a description of the different grounds. And one of those is the seed is sown among thorns. And so the word starts to blossom, but the worries of life, the anxieties of this life, this feeling of distrust, the deceitfulness of wealth. I trusted in wealth, but it didn't come through. The desire for other things. He said all of those things come in and they choke out the world, and it makes it unfruitful. If you're not living a life of trust, then you're really not going to be a fruitful participant in the kingdom of God. You're really not going to be able to be used by God if you're not trusting in Him. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Listen to these words. Jesus again says, be careful or your hearts will be, and listen to this, weighed down. Isn't that a great description of what living with an anxious heart is all about? You just feel weighed down. He says, watch out, because your hearts can be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. Just weighs you down. You just can't continue. You're just not as swift. You just don't have that power when you're dealing with all of this distrust and all of this anxiety. And he says that day, this whole context is talking about God coming in judgment. He says one day it's really all going to come down and we're going to have to answer for our lives. And when we're so anxious, we forget that our life is headed somewhere. We forget that Christ is going to come back, and we focus so much on the present that we forget the ultimate fulfillment of this world. And then we start making impulsive and poor choices. Isn't that what you do when you're worried? You think, I've got to do something. And so you don't see the end of the matters, and you just start doing something to try to make things better. We get weighed down when we don't trust. And then really, when you look at the life of anxiety that so many of us struggle with, so many of us deal with, when we look at anxiety and worry, it's actually antithetical to the gospel. The gospel says, you shouldn't be like this. People in my kingdom shouldn't be weighed down with all the worries of life. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, I just picked out some highlights from that section. Jesus gives a considerable amount of time in this Sermon on the Mount talking about how you worry, and he says this shouldn't be for people who are members of my kingdom. So he says, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or your body, what you wear. Verse 27, can any one of you, by worrying at a single hour of your life, how's it working for you? How's that working? Verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? Look at the flowers of the field. They don't labor or spin. Verse 31, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? In verse 32, this is so telling. Jesus says, that's pagan stuff. That's what unbelievers do. Unbelievers are just overwhelmed and weighed down by worry that shouldn't be characteristic of a kingdom person. Verse 34, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's antithetical to kingdom life. And then Paul puts it so succinctly, referring back to Stan's passage in Philippians chapter 4. Well, it's really not Stan's passage. Stan used it. It's Paul's passage. It's God's passage. But Paul says, for people who are members of the kingdom, don't be anxious about anything. You just don't worry. Really? See, God demands our trust. He demands our trust. I'm using a book, or one of the resources I'm using is Trusting God by Jerry Bridges. If you're looking for a book, then go ahead and pick that up. It's available wherever books are sold, as they say on the commercials, right? But in that book, Jerry Bridges says, God views our distrust of him as seriously as he views our disobedience. Boy, that hit me. Because it's easier for me to obey than it is to trust. And I know they're connected, because if we really don't trust, it's going to be hard to obey. I'll get to that in future sermons. But when God sees us worried and weighed down by all these anxieties, he sees that as serious as us disobeying him. Look at Psalm 78. Here's an example of that. The psalmist is looking back on that Exodus time in the history of Israel, where God was, he just did amazing things, didn't he? I mean, he parted the Red Sea, he sent the plagues, he changed Pharaoh's mind, he hardened Pharaoh's heart, he brings them, he's feeding them manna and quail and taking care of them, he's even fighting battles for them as they're in the wilderness. But one thing God observes among these people, and the psalmist brings this out, is that these people, in spite of all of that, they lived this life of worry and anxiety and didn't trust. They spoke against God. These are the people that experienced all of this goodness of God. They said, can God really spread a table in the wilderness? Is he really going to take care of me? They were worrying. True, he struck the rock and water gushed out. I mean, what more could you ask for? Streams flowed abundantly, but can he also give us bread? You can just hear, you can just feel these people wondering if God is really going to take care of them, in spite of the fact that he's taken care of them before. Can he supply meat for his people? Read all of Psalm 78 when you get home. This is just a sample of it. When the Lord heard them, he was furious. And they're not even disobeying right here. They're not worshiping idols. They're just doubting God. They're not trusting God. He was furious, and his fire broke out against Jacob, which is symbolic of the people of Israel. And his wrath rose against Israel, for they did not believe in God or trust in his deliverance. God demands our trust, but why should I trust God? Why should you trust God? Remember all those three reasons I gave you that we shouldn't trust other people or we don't trust other people? Those are the exact reasons why we can trust God. There are three qualities of God that we need to know, three qualities that distinguish God from every other human being. Number one, God is sovereign. He has the power. He can do anything. He's all powerful. If he says he's going to do something, there is nothing that can stop him from doing it. He's not weak like you and I are weak. He's not like the people that we deal with who sometimes make promises but just don't have the power or the authority to fulfill those. He is sovereign. God is love. He always has our best interest at heart. He's not trying to pull the wool over our eyes. He's not trying to use us or deceive us. Anything that he tells us to do, it's motivated out of this sense of love for every human being. And then God is wisdom. He knows everything. It's not like he's making promises and then later on, oh man, I didn't realize that had to happen before I could fulfill that promise. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything. Someone said it this way to incorporate those three qualities of love. God in his love wills what is best for us. In his wisdom, he always knows what is best. And in his sovereignty, he has the power to bring it about. God wants us to trust him because he knows how freeing it is to live a life of trust. Imagine being able to trust the Lord with all your heart. When Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, Romans chapter 15, this is near the end of the book. He has this prayer, he has this wish for those Christians there, really a wish for Christians everywhere, a wish for us. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him. so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What amazing words. He wants us to live a life of hope. He wants us to live a life of joy. He wants us to live a life of peace. And he says that comes by trusting in the Lord. So in this world of suspicion that we live in, God is calling to you, calling to me. He's calling out to all of us. He's saying, trust me. Let me close with this prayer from Timothy Keller. He says, Lord, I worry because I forget your wisdom. I resent because I forget your mercy. I covet because I forget your beauty. I sin because I forget your holiness. I fear because I forget your sovereignty. You always remember me. Help me to remember you. Let's pray. Father, hear the hearts of every person here today who struggles with all of us about truly trusting you and finding that security and that safety and that confidence, knowing that you are God, all sovereign, all wise, all loving. Father, forgive us for being so preoccupied with the things of this world. Father, forgive us for not fully, with all of our hearts, putting our trust in you. Father, thank you for understanding as you have experienced this life in Jesus Christ, who was betrayed by a close friend, who was denied by another close friend, who felt abandoned even by you at times. So, Father, we know that you understand, but Father, help us not to use that as an excuse, but Father, help us to know that as we work through this, that you have compassion and mercy on us. But Father, we pray that you would lead us into a more full experience of the confidence that comes from trusting in you. Father, we want to be fruitful. We want to be wise. We don't want to be weighted down. And so, Father, just help us in this world where it's so hard to trust anyone else, to know that there is someone that we can put our trust in. Father, that you're with us all the time, every day, that you never desert us, you never abandon us, wherever we go, to the highest heights, to the deepest depths, that you are there. Father, in the shadows and the light and the hills and the valleys, that you are there. That you're always there with us. And so, Father, help us to live this life with this confidence, knowing that come what may, no matter what else falls apart in this world, no matter who else betrays us, no matter who else lies to us, whatever promises are broken, Father, we pray that that will never break our spirit so that we cannot trust you, because you are always there. You are the rock. You are our refuge. You're our fortress. You're everything to us. And so, Father, help us to fully give our lives over to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and let's sing.
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low in the darkness as black as could be. And my heart felt alone, and I cried, oh Lord, don't hide your face from me. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the grave. Oh, no, take my hand, let me stand where no one stands alone. Like a king I may live in a palace so tall, with great riches to call my own. But I don't know a thing in this whole wide world that's worse than being alone. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the grave, unknown. Take my hand, let me stand where no one stands alone. Take my hand, let me stand where no one stands alone.
Amen.
We are so glad you are here this morning, both in person and online. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Todd, for reminding us we can and must trust the Lord. Basil, thank you for a great song service. And Leslie, Stan, and Tyler, thank you for your participation this morning. Kelly Thomas, welcome to our family. We're so glad you are here. Make sure you meet and greet her and get to know her. Also, remember in the messenger those that are sick, that need our prayers, that are hurting, and let's make sure that we are praying for them continually. Thank you again for being here. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father God, thank you for this day. What a great day. Thank you, Father, for blessing us so richly with this service this morning. Help us, Father, to be encouragers. Thank you for encouraging us, Father. Thank you for your word that you speak to us. Help us, Father, to be in your word daily, in prayer. And Father God, help us to know deep down that we can and must trust you, that when we trust you, our anxiety is gone, that we are thankful that you're in control, that you're sovereign. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that dwells within us. Help us, Father, to walk your path each day, follow your will, Father. And most of all, help us to reach out to those around us that don't know you. Help us to bring your hope, your blessing, your peace to the world around us that don't know you. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
As we leave today, just a reminder, the Lord is with us. He is surrounding us. Whatever we do, wherever we go, he is with you. Let's sing this together.